Okay, we have moved into a new section in this, so you're worried about the devil, or you're scared of the devil and worried about the end times, and the new section we've moved in is Early Battles with the Forces of Darkness. Now, maybe you remember that some of the things we talked about was Adam and Eve, and the devil showed up, and this was the first encounter. This is the first encounter with God and the devil. And I don't know, I've always pictured that first encounter when the devil, you know, deceived Eve and they ate of the tree that he shouldn't have eaten. I've always pictured God showing up, and Adam is standing here, and then beside him is Eve, and then the serpent's down here. I don't know why, I've always sort of pictured that, you know, and kind of like school kids that got in trouble, you know, and the serpent's like, you know. But, you know, this was the first, you know, if you will, well, I use that term later on, but it's the first time that God and the serpent, God and the devil are actually there at the same time. And remember, what we found is that the devil was there, but he didn't like scar them or jump on them and, you know, all these things that we first see, the you know, and this crazy thing, you know, this crazy serpent with four legs. And, and basically, God just showed up and said, okay, you know, and he spoke, you know, y'all remember, I'm not going to repeat the whole thing, but he spoke to the serpent and said, I'm going to put enmity between her seed and your seed, and your seed and her seed. And he spoke that to the serpent, and that was meant to be a warning and a scary thing for the serpent, not for us, not for Eve. That's the way God said it. Anyway, we're in Exodus 7, if you'll turn there with me. Exodus 7, this is Moses, and it's Moses before Pharaoh, but he's also before all the magicians of Egypt. Okay. And verse 10 through 12 says this. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Okay, so let's just stop right there. And it says, and so I wrote down, the devil has more wizards. Oh, no. Oh, no, the devil has more. The devil has more snakes. He's got more snakes. Oh, no. Oh, no, the devil can do magic. Oh, no. I'm out of my league. We're so vulnerable. We're so weak. We only have one snake. We're as grasshoppers. This scares me, you know. But remember that they had more, but the rest of that verse ends with, well, verse 12 says, and they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Okay. So they not only lost that little battle, but they had to go buy new rods. And they had more. They had more. And they still lost. And so all of these magicians and all of these people and these rods that were thrown down, they looked stronger, but they were not. They were not. Now, this is one of the early examples of God and the devil, as it were, clashing again. All right? And there's not a whole lot of them that will literally put them together. And the ones that are interesting. All right? Including New Testament. There's still questions. We still have questions. We still have fears. We're looking at that, and we have all these things that come about. But God had already told Moses what to do. He already told Moses what to do, okay? So if you want to see that, that's over in Exodus 4. So let's go to Exodus 4, verse 1 through 4. And now remember, we started in Exodus 7. This goes all the way back to Exodus 4. I mean, you only got like three more chapters before it just begins, all right? So, Exodus 4, 1, and Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.'" Okay, are you getting the idea? So you're scared of the devil, or you're scared of Pharaoh, or you're scared that the people aren't going to believe you, or you're afraid of this, and you're afraid of that, and all this. Okay. Is it good news to at least know that Moses started out that way? He ended pretty good. What do you think? Yeah. Let's see. "The Lord hath not..." What if they will say, "The Lord hath not appeared unto thee"? And the Lord said unto him, "What is in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." You know, it's almost like baby Moses at this. You know, he's going to grow up into a really mature dude, okay? And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Do you see that? He's still got stuff going on in him. But God is preparing him for a day that he will stand literally before the top guy in Egypt and all of the wizardry that he's gathered and assembled together, and will be just fine. What does that say? It says God prepares us for these things. All right? So, in verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Put forth thine hand and take it up by the tail.' And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." Okay? So, the first thing to do is, you know, get over the fear of grabbing a serpent by its tail. But as soon as you do, it turns in God's tool, all right? So I wrote this. He didn't have to come up with the victory plan at a moment's notice. That's a little unsettling if, you know, you get into a situation and then, you know, you weren't expecting, you know, certain things to happen, maybe the enemy trying this or doing that. But if God prepares you, then you're like, well, you know, he's already spoken to me. I already know what's going on here. He didn't have to come up with the victory plan at a moment's notice. He didn't have to go through snake changing classes. Moses, you baby Moses, how long is this going to take? Just reach down and grab it, okay? By the tail. But one of the things that the Lord said, and I remember this from when I was young, reading these scriptures, young in the Lord, and the Lord said to him, he's going, "Well, I can't do this, and this and that, and what am I going to do?" And all this kind of stuff. And I'm sure I did all of that a million times more. But One of the things I remember in those scriptures was when he said all of that, God just said this to him, "What do you have in your hand? What do you got? What do you got right now? Don't be thinking about what you don't have. I can use whatever you got. But I don't have much. I just got this stick." You know? Then we'll whoop them with that stick. You know, right? All right, so what's in your hand at the time? God will use it. God prepared Moses in this way, but he didn't prepare everyone in Israel that way. He prepared the man who would be facing that. If you're facing that, if you're going to be facing that, he'll prepare you. Okay? Or you'll be Israel and he'll prepare someone else who doesn't mind picking up a snake, snake by the tail. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, he may never prepare you for that because he's got someone else that can handle it. Are you good with that? You say, can we go that route? No. It's all up to him, you know? And if his preparation is there, you got nothing to worry about. All right. So let's see what Jesus said about it. This is out, you can mark the scriptures, Mark 16, 17 through 18. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." All right, we know that there are denominations who are snake handlers and stuff. He's not trying to make us snake handlers. He's trying to make us prepared and to understand that if the first serpent you met was a guy in the garden that deceived you, and that's the best he threw at you at that moment, and then you run into him later, and there's more of them than one, that God is already prepared to deal with that. And Jesus says, they shall take up serpents. And if it was meant to be as scary as it seems to be to us about the devil and all that, then we would go, I don't want to do that. Well, he's just talking about being able to handle the serpent, the devil. That's all based on him. Okay. So what was Paul's experience? You like this one, don't you? You know what's coming, don't you? All right, Acts 28. Let's see. I guess we're starting at verse 2. "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand." Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm sure Paul went, "Ah, get it off. Lord, in the name of Jesus, remove this. Make it dissipate into the ether waves." Well, not quite. All right, so you're afraid. Well, maybe you are, but maybe you shouldn't be. Because Paul wasn't. "And out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer." There's no doubt about this. And all the barbarians went, yep, that dude's a murderer and he's going to die. "whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not him not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire." Okay, so the barbarians are like, oh boy, I'm glad it's not wrapped around me, because I did murder somebody, but I didn't tell anybody. You know, and they're talking about, yeah, this is the end, buddy. He's, you know, clearly, no doubt, that's what the deal is. And so Paul goes, shakes his arm a little bit and goes, where's it go to? Into the fire. It doesn't wrap around his leg now. He didn't go, He didn't have to do all that. And verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen. See, these guys are, you want to know why they're called barbarians? Because they don't know the Lord. All right? He should have swollen. It didn't even say he should have swollen up or something. He should have swollen. Or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, this is taking a while. Let's just keep watching him, fellas. He's going to drop any second. I'm telling you, the devil got him. Okay? But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Yeah, that's right. It's either God or Satan. Well, he's not God. All right. So I want to tell you my experience. Is that okay, Deb? My experience was one time I was in the front yard where we presently live, and spring was here, and I was trying to clear out all the leaves in our front part of our house, flower bed. No gloves or anything like that, and a copperhead bites me. So I tried to find him so I could kill him because I didn't want anybody else, especially the cats that are up there. I didn't want them to get bit. And couldn't find him, so I just kept, I knew I was bit, but I just kept dragging leaves in and stuff like that. And In fact, after looking for him, couldn't find him, I just went, okay, let's go. So my hand first started just swelling. So I went into the house, and what'd you do to your hand or something?
Yeah, it was really puffy.
It was real, yeah, it was like a double hand there. I said, well, I bumped it against the door or something like that. So as I came back out, I think you saw my arm then. Yeah. Oh, no, I went back out and did a little more and came back in, and then my arm started swelling. And we looked at my arm, and the red line was working its way up, how the poison works its way up to your heart. And Deb says, we got to go to the doctor right now. And I said, I'll be fine. And she's going, well, she's been with me for all these years, and she's learned that if I've heard from the Lord, then I've heard from the Lord. And the Lord, I said, Lord, do I need to go to the hospital or not? I really did it about like that. Should I go to the hospital or not? Now, you'll be fine. So I said, Deb, I'll be fine. So I'm not encouraging you to get bit and not go to the hospital. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm telling you that you may never get bit, but I did, and that was the way the Lord dealt with me, without any fear, because he prepared me, however he did, but he prepared me, and my heart was with him. And so, after a while, everything was just really fat and swollen. After a while, it just went down, and then, but when Deb saw that I got bit and I was just keeping on going, do you know what she said? She said to me, you must be a god. Actually, she didn't say that. She said, no doubt this man is a murderer. I have married a murderer and didn't know it. So Deb went over and sat and just watched me the whole time for a long time. Just kidding me. Okay, we went a little longer tonight, but it was fun, huh? I mean, and we're gonna just keep going till we get to the book of Revelation, okay? And we're going to find some really interesting things. It's going to be so good. All right, that's it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the nature of Christ, and thank you for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is ours, that is in us, that is on us, that can be with us and speak and share life and can be our Adonai in certain cases. And so, Father, we just love you, and I ask you to just give peace unto your people, peace unto those who are in this class now or will maybe watch it later, and to see clearly over and over and over and over and over and over examples of what it's like when you, Jesus, walked this earth and had a clash with the devil, or when Paul or anyone else did, and see how it really is to be seen, so that we may not fear or be concerned over the devil or the end times in the way that most Christians seem to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Love you.